This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
Ramya Muthit, Kelly McDonald, hosts of the show. First of all, ladies and gentlemen, when you can't be here for the absolute airing of the live show where all the fun happens, you know, I'll tell you what you can do. Listen to one of the repeats. Same fun, just a little later. 5 p.m. Eastern, midnight, and 5 a.m. in the morning is the best times to follow up and listen. And, of course, you can, at your leisure, check out the Kelly and Company podcast. I just want to say, Rum, what I was getting at before we slipped off to break is, you know, Michael's frustrations trying something out, trying to figure it out. My friend who was trying to figure out, what the heck, what's wrong with this? What do I, oh, I have to arm it. All that trial and error that we do that we get so frustrated and mad about, it has ever teach us so much more about whatever we're working on. You know, if you're telling somebody how to do it, you know, it's great, it's helpful, but it's those mistakes you make that make you learn something inside out.
And it's with everything, Kels. Like, you know, I have some friends who are right now in the midst of learning keyboard shortcuts instead of the mouse, right? So new to screen reader use, new to going from using their vision to using vision substitution skills. And same thing, like sometimes they'll be like, well, how do you do this? How do you do that? I'm like, I could tell you all the shortcuts in the world, but are you using them every day? Because then it's just in one ear, out the other.
That's right.
So,
until you need it. And you can't possibly, without real world use of it, put it in play. You know, it just doesn't work. Kind of like us teaching you about sports. It's just that kind of thing that, you know, unless your mind is open to it, like if we associate it with the hot dogs, you know, the popcorn or whatever, you're just not getting it, no matter what Brock Richardson tells you. Let's bring him on to talk sports on our weekly sports update.
As a former athlete, I eat, sleep, and breathe everything sports. I'm Brock Richardson. Join me every Monday for your weekly sports highlights and our take on the weekend action.
Favorite arena or ballpark food, Mr. Richardson? I can't remember. I know I've asked you this before.
Oh, goodness.
I've never tried that.
There's probably like at least two anyways. I really like hot dogs, and I really like when they do those like soft serve ice cream deals with the twist thing, you know, like the mix of like you can do the chocolate vanilla. Those are my two favorite, at least.
Too messy in an arena for Rummy or I.
Yeah, we're pretty picky about that stuff, right, Kels?
It's all on the mess. I would eat almost anything. Oh, no, that's too messy. What comes in a box with a napkin wrapped around it that's easy to get at?
It's like, can I just get the burger, just the meat and bun? Thank you. No, everything else is too messy.
And before I leave, where's my bib? Pal, what's your leadoff item?
So I have two leadoffs for you. This one goes back to where we were discussing the Olympic and Paralympic Games, whether or not they would actually run.
Right.
And sadly, I think what I'm about to give you doesn't help the circumstance. Thomas Bach, who is the head of the International Olympic Committee, has postponed his flight to go to Tokyo. Now, this to me, you kind of go, okay, I understand they're in kind of a bit of an outbreak in Tokyo, but already the questions now continue between the person doesn't want, the people don't want this to run, and now the head of it is postponing his flight. So to me, this is puzzling to me, and I'm curious whether it's just me that's puzzled by this, or if we should just wait and see what happens.
Okay. I saw that concern is there, you know, and really, we sit back, and I know that we've talked about the vaccine, that they've bought a vaccine for all the attending countries if necessary to make sure athletes are going to be vaccinated, Brock. So, you know, you keep wondering, you keep saying, so what is this step? What is this non-step? Anything else, sir?
The second thing is that this is kind of fun to talk about and a good thing for what we're in the midst of doing. And that is that 50% of the American National Hockey League teams have received at least one of their vaccinations. The Canadian teams that we can speak to, which have received it or going to be receiving it, are the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Montreal Canadiens are supposed to receive it before the playoffs. Now, the interesting thing about the Toronto Maple Leafs is that they have said, we have given our doses to the doctors within the organization so that they don't have to mingle with the general public while they're getting their vaccine and so on and so forth. So there's lots of well thought out things about people getting their vaccines. Now, of course, in Toronto, the age bracket has been lowered. So that's why NHL hockey players can receive it. They did not get ahead of the line. They were strictly following the rules of when they were entitled to get their vaccine.
Right. Okay. So does this scenario, Brocky, change any of the protocols for players who are vaccinated then in terms of, I don't know, anything like being on field?
It does change it a little bit, but primarily off the field specifically, because they are allowed, if you are fully vaccinated, which some American teams are, they are allowed then to be in a limited number of their teammates who can then say, well, let's go for dinner, let's go for this and that. But you have to be fully vaccinated to do that. They still have to wear the masks as per whatever city they're in moving forward. But this does allow for more flexibility as far as quote-unquote team building scenarios.
Right. Okay. Sir, the woman's world wrapped up this past weekend. You want to talk about how Team Canada fared?
Well, Team Canada was the tale of two halves for this event. The first half, they went 1-5. The second half, they went 6-1. Everyone was all wondering, will they get to the top seed? Or not to the top seed, to the seed where they will qualify for the Olympic Games. And the answer to that question is yes. They have qualified their country for the games, but they did not make it past Sweden in the quarterfinal game. I would view this for them as a success just based on the fact that they had a 1-5 start and then literally flipped the script and went 6-1 on the back half of it as well. So good event for them. Carrie Anderson is not finished yet. She still has to compete with Brad Gushu, who is her mixed doubles partner. And that event will get going next Monday in the UK. So busy times for her. And I think that's been part of what's gone on with her team is they kind of ran out of gas. They've been involved in the Scotties, the two Pinties events, the Grand Slams, and then the World. So I think at some point she should probably reevaluate how many events she's going to participate in, because I think that speaks to why they didn't go too far, because they just simply ran out of gas.
Brocky, over the weekend, something pretty special happened for Edmonton Oilers player Connor McDavid. Do you want to tell us about this?
Yes. So Connor McDavid was at 96 overall points before entering Saturday night's game, and he had 3 assists and 1 goal to reach the 100-point milestone in a season. Now, the interesting thing about this and why this is such a big deal is because this was a shortened season. A regular season is 81 games. This year was 57, and he did it in 56 games. So Connor McDavid, well-deserved. I was able to see the highlights. Edmonton did a nice job of commemorating that. Just such a great thing to see that he got there, and to do it in such short span of time is even more, you know, a good thing for him.
What a thrill. You know, Edmonton fans being able to watch and be proud of their guy like they were Gretzky so many years ago. It's just phenomenal when, you know, you get that joy and pleasure to watch someone every day go out and you're just like, oh, one of the best out there. A number of the National Hockey League teams have clinched their playoff positions. What are some of the pros and cons of clinching your spot within a couple of games of the season ending?
Well, let's start with the pros. Rest is definitely a pro. When you've been in this shortened, condensed season, you can play a lot of games within a short period of time. That's one of the pros. The other pro is you can sort of take a big deep breath and say, phew, we've got our playoff spot. Now you can build on the things that your coaches, the systems that you want in place for the playoffs, and you don't necessarily have to worry about clinching, quote unquote, your playoff spot, because that's already done. The cons, though, are that you've clinched it too early. And what I mean by that is sometimes players, when they've clinched something a little early, they can sort of take their foot off the gas in the sense of they're not playing as hard, they're not finishing plays as well as they should. And that can lead you into starting the playoffs on a bad foot, if you can say. If it were me, I would rather play right until the end of the season with at least something to play for, whether it's positioning for the playoffs or just getting into it altogether. Something is better than nothing, because I, as an athlete, would fear that, am I really going to unintentionally take my foot off the gas Yep. during all of this?
Want to talk before we go to the Toronto Blue Jays and how they did this weekend?
Well, I was hoping for a little bit of a better fate against the Houston Astros. They won one game over the weekend, and I was hoping for the series victory. They didn't get it. They had Nate Pearson, who is their number one prospect, back. He did not look so good. He looked a little bit out of place. He wasn't sure. He was missing corners, missing spots. I'm not saying we should cut ties with Nate Pearson at all, but it was a bit concerning. And there were times in the dugout when you'd see he almost looked a little bit like a deer in the headlights, in the sense of, I don't really know if I'm ready to be back here yet. But the Blue Jays really had very limited choice with all the injuries that have happened at the beginning of the year. And so that's part of it. The other thing I would caution fans is that, look, when this lineup does get healthy, it will be very good. It will be a very good lineup. We are only in May, and they are one game above 500, even with the injuries as well. So there is lots of positive, but the weekend, not so much.
It is difficult. You roll somebody out there against one of the prolific offenses in baseball. I think I'd look very much like a deer in headlights, but he did lose a lot of that composure. It was like he wasn't able to trust his stuff. And I'm not going to say he was trying to pitch too fine, but you see these things happen, Brock, and sometimes they can really hurt a young guy.
Yeah, and he wasn't doing the simple things of his arm release wasn't always in the same place. He was just kind of all over the place. And that's where I think a few extra minor league starts would have helped in this regard. But again, the Blue Jays were so much up against it with all their injuries to the pitching staff, they really had no choice. So from what I saw on social media of, oh, you know, maybe he's not as good as we think. No, just everyone just relax. The Blue Jays did not want, really, in a perfect world, to start him yesterday. They just simply didn't have a choice.
Well, and I think that's the big thing. He was having a release point problem. It was clear to see, which is going to drag that ball out of the strike zone and put it into to where he's in trouble. And you don't want to be in trouble against a team that just licks its lips and says, having trouble today, Sonny? You know, that's just the way it is. Thanks, pal. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Brock Richardson, he's the host of The Neutral Zone. He hits us. We talk to him on Mondays as he joins us for a sports report, giving us an idea of what's happened over the weekend, what's coming up. We have some great conversation, but you can also join them for great conversation Fridays at 4 p.m. Eastern Time right here on AMI Audio when The Neutral Zone gathers. We'll take a break, ladies and gentlemen. It's time to check in to see what's going on AMI this week. Vancouver's Grant Hardy, he's the TV reporter over there. He'll be previewing the feature on Mandy Harvey. Very interesting conversation he had with her. He even did a little turnabout. Hopefully we'll get him to fill us in on that right after this on Kelly and Company.
You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.